All right, this is Centaur Views. My name is No Sense.
And this is Victoria.
This is a podcast where two Sagittarius people come together and give their opinionated views on cultural topics.
Disclaimer, you will be offended. Don't at me.
All right, first podcast.
First podcast.
On the books. All right, so you know what to do. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast. Rate it. You know, let people know you can follow us. Centaur Views on Facebook. You can actually be a part of the conversation. You can Gmail us. It's Centaur Views. If you don't know how to spell Centaur, that's C-E-N-T-A-U-R. Basically, what a centaur is half man, half horse. It's a beast.
Yeah, beast.
That's what the Sagittarius symbol is. So it kind of coincides with the type of people that's on the podcast. So we had to share the name, you know, it's unique. Get that out there. So we're going to move on to our first segment, which is Two Cents. She's going to share her two cents and I'm going to share my two cents. So what's your topic for today?
So this week, my two cents has to do with this damn coronavirus. Okay, like, people are going crazy about it, and I don't think that that we should be. Just wash your fucking hands, my G. Like, wash your hands, cover your mouth, cough in your elbow, and wash your hands. Take your probiotics and your vitamins, and please, just wash your hands.
Are you talking to the white people? Because I think black people do that anyway.
Yes, white people, for real. At work, this lady... She likes to get all in your personal fucking space. And she likes to breathe on people. And then she's always sick. It's like, probably because you're kissing your dogs in your mouth. And you don't probably wash your hands. This is disgusting.
So I know we're not going to tell you where we work at.
Most definitely.
So you're not going to put it. Nobody's going to be put on blast.
Yeah. Most definitely. Yeah, but every few years, it seems like we have, like, this tragic-ass sickness that comes over and is supposed to kill us all out. Like, you had the swine flu, had the H1N1, the SARS, and...
But, you know, flu is actually still killing more people than the coronavirus.
Right.
That's the crazy part.
I saw this meme. It was like 900 people in the world got coronavirus, and it's like 1 million people with AIDS, and niggas still don't strap up. And I was like... Thank you.
Yeah, because magic is still walking around here.
Oh my god. No. Like, just, like, for real. Like, I sound congested right now because I am. I think my child, which is disgusting. This little boy is so disgusting. He likes to not wash his hands and stuff and likes to touch people. So I'm sure I got something from him. But, yeah. And this weather is Mother Nature's already trying to take us out. Because she's sick of our asses. So just wash your hands, please. That's really all my two cents is.
My two cents kind of has to go into, like, this whole conspiracy type thing. Because I know there's a lot of conspiracies out there with the coronavirus and stuff. But my conspiracy theory is, I'm not quite on the bandwagon with this. But, like, I know Dr. Umar said his thing about it. With, like, this whole Kobe Bryant thing. It's hard for me to say it's a conspiracy theory simply because the fact that if he's going to do this, why put his daughter in it and the other 7 people as well?
So you don't believe the whole cartoon where Kobe was in the helicopter?
I mean, I believe the cartoon because the cartoon's real, but I don't believe that. I mean, you got to look at it as part of it's, you know, it's reality. He was known for flying a plane. So, of course... That's what you're going to make. You know, you're not going to make a cartoon of him down in a train if he didn't do it. You know, that's real life. But now, the Lakers were not the favorites to win the NBA title this year. Now, if they go on and on the back of this tragedy win and LeBron gets MVP and they have this whole dynasty for the next 3-4 years. Yeah, okay, now you can take me back and we can go
to this podcast.
And I will jump. I will be on this conspiracy because I am a conspiracy theory person. I love conspiracy theories, but this is just one I can't get on top of. And shout out to Vanessa Bryant. That is one strong female. She gets all my love. But yeah, I can't jump in.
She shouldn't have to be strong, but I get it. But what if Like, my son did tell me that, like, the Lakers are doing very great in that season right now. So, I don't know. I'm a conspiracy theorist also. Being a Sagittarius, you know, we got to think big. So, I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know. We'll see. Yeah.
We shall see.
I may change my mind. We got a couple more months in the season, so yeah, I see. But right now, I don't think it's conspiracy.
So if they go like undefeated,
definitely conspiracy. We're gonna revisit this in a later episode. Parking lot. All right, so going from off of the Kobe topic, actually had to do with our show, which we're going to discuss Kobe's legacy, as well as our own legacies.
So this is our legacy show.
Yeah. And pretty much it's because I think with Kobe still fresh in our hearts and minds, and the fact that it was shocking because of his age. I think with a lot of death, you can think of like Muhammad Ali. We kind of saw him
deteriorate before our eyes. But when it's something that happens that's like very sudden, of course, even if you didn't know the person, it's still going to be like, it's, you are human to be like, to have an emotional reaction to it. So it does put things in perspective for sure.
And I think it's a lot of people compare it to Nipsey, but I think it's different too because Nipsey wasn't at his peak. He was just coming to his greatness. Kobe had peaked as far as his basketball greatness. Mm-hmm. And he still had a lot that he was doing, especially with Gigi. And I think what kind of got us, what got me into wanting to say his legacy was, you know, everybody's probably put their 2 cents in. But when Gail, during that interview with Lisa Leslie, asked if the rape accusations would be a part of his legacy.
I don't think it should be.
And I mean, my opinion, I don't, because simple fact is he wasn't convicted.
In my opinion, I don't think it should be because he was remorseful. Like, everyone makes mistakes. And when I heard about him, like, I don't really follow sports, but I do remember hearing about him saying that for him it was consensual, but for her he understood that it wasn't. And from that situation, he created a whole different brand up on himself. And it wasn't like he was a scumbag, like, you heard more shit about it. So that's what, for me, why I don't think it's like it should be considered a part of his legacy.
And I feel like, especially being that it was such a minimal part, and the fact that he was not, you know, maybe he was convicted in the eyes of, you know, the media or, you know, social opinion. But I think the only person that you can say where the outcome was, where they were found not guilty, where it would be part of the legacy, would say OJ. Because of the fact that it was the crime of the century, the trial of the century.
Yeah, because OJ went later on with all that crazy ass shit.
But still, it's just the fact that, you know, it was so big.
He made it his motherfucking legacy, you know, by keep bringing it back up.
Because like, even with Michael, we like, still
move the fuck on, my dude.
The little boy thing. Not everybody's gonna say that's part of his legacy, but because it was just so part of what was in his later life, we still bring it up. But yeah, with Kobe, I definitely think that we really got to push that aside when it comes to looking at
it. We don't even got to talk about it anymore.
But I think with Kobe's legacy, I think that part is actually where his legacy kind of was turning. I think there's 2 different Kobe Bryants that we came to know. That's the number 8 and the number 24. And the reason I say that is because a lot of people, we saw Kobe come in the league straight out of high school, which was crazy to think about at the time, which they don't even do it now. You have to at least play in college for 2 years now.
Look how dumb you were. This happened.
Yeah, this was in the 90s. So you
right
got
after he got out of, like, how old was he when this whole accusation happened?
He was in his mid-20s.
Under 25?
I think he was either about 24 or 25.
That's crazy.
But you got to look at it like this. A lot of people compare him to Jordan. But you gotta look at how they play that, you know, as far as how they play. Mm-hmm. My thing is, I compare him to LeBron because of the fact that they both had to grow up.
Real fast.
Yeah, in front of our eyes. They didn't have that that growth in college because that's where a lot of people become.
And that's where you make all the mistakes, too.
Yeah, and so with Kobe, that number 8 was that cocky young kid from out of high school. His shit didn't stink, you know.
Right.
So whatever he was doing, it was right. And, you know, he was good enough to get away with it. But people, you know, the hate was real, you know. And then when he realized, okay, I'm not Superman. I'm not invincible. Mm-hmm. That's when he became 24. That's when the Black Mamba mentality came out.
That experience alone changed his trajectory?
Yeah, because, I mean, when you think about it, you know, not only was he facing jail time, he lost endorsements. Mm-hmm. He could have lost his career. You know, when you think about it, you going from being top 1 or 2 players in history to you're about to go to being one of the most infamous players in the world if this doesn't go
right. Real.
So I think having that becoming a reality of being taken away from you.
That's got to be a humbling experience.
And not to mention the type of female that he was it, because, you know, Vanessa Bryant was a true ride or die. Mm-hmm. We see that now. You know, he was going to lose everything. So I think when he became 24, that was the new Kobe Bryant that we saw. That was the man. And a lot of people come out and they say, well, he was in his second act when he died. You know, he was going to do great things. I feel like he was actually in his third act because we saw the boy and then we saw the man. And I feel like normally that's how we are as people. You know, I speak as far as, like, I see my life trajectory and people that I grew up with when we came out of high school. My homeboys, they went to the military. They found themselves in the military, and then they either stayed still in there, or some of them got out and they're doing something now. And then they just so happened to, okay, now I'm figuring out what I'm doing. Then it's working towards something. So their third act is going to be when they open their own business. You know, with me,
like Amanda says, you're grounded in your passion.
Yeah. And so I think with a lot of us, that's where our legacy isn't in our second act, per se.
I would hope not.
I think our legacy is actually in our third act. So I think Kobe actually, his legacy is in his second act. But I think for most of us, we're going to be remembered in our third. How do you feel about it?
I don't know. I think as far as the Kobe, like I said just a while ago, like, I don't think that a mistake should be the determining factor of how he's remembered. I think all of the great things, I don't follow sports, but I do remember hearing about him having his own production company, creating like children's books, and making a short film about his love of basketball, and thinking about like the good he's done. And like I said, that made me like put in perspective for my own legacy and what I want to leave behind and what I want to be remembered for. Like, I just think that, like, for me and myself, I think I'm here to help people, especially women, even boys. Cause I can't help. I used to think my legacy was going to be to helping men get over their selves, but I'm retired. So it's boys, I think, cause I have 2 sons. So I want them to know that the history and the trajectory that the men in my family have been going down that path, they don't have to do that. They can go down something else. So I wanted them to be like getting more in touch with their emotions and being able to express that, because I too was one that was emotionally unavailable. And just realize to stand in your truth. Like, if I could be a testament to people and letting them know that you can just, you can do anything you want to do as long as you're okay with the consequences behind it and you're standing there in your truth and exactly what you want to do at that time, then do it. Whatever it is, whether it may hurt somebody, that hurt might be turned into a lesson and a plan all in itself for somebody else, but just be yourself. I don't know what you think. Like,
I mean, I don't think, I mean, if you're not, if you're hurting somebody as far as intentionally where, you know, you're causing hurt, but no, if you're, my growth is going to hurt you because you feel like, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but you're going to have to be hurt.
Like, yeah, you losing a friend, right? Oh, because I'm cutting you off because I'm staying out all every night and I'm being late for work and I'm going to work drunk and hungover. Like, I got to cut you off because I want better. If that hurts you, then that's going to hurt you. But like, I get it. Yeah, not intentionally hurt somebody. Like, oh, I'm going to fuck your husband because you look at me sideways. Like, whoa, wait, what?
Well, no, I feel like, you know, like, my, like you said, like, I want my legacy to be helping people, yeah, in some form, and actually, like, I do want to, my thing is teenagers, more or less, because I think a lot of people don't realize how hard the teenagers have it, because we put a lot on kids nowadays to grow up and to understand certain things, and they're trying to.
They are.
But, you know, we don't realize, like, how much depression is struggling and how much social media has on, you know, on that, on their, you know, their mind, their emotions. And, you know, a lot of that stuff is instant. When we were younger, it wasn't out there.
Yeah, to you got where, picked you know, on.
Yeah, you got picked on. It got cut off at 3 o'clock.
Right. Oh, just in this block. I know this block going to be hell. This 90-minute block is going to be extremely hard dealing with this ass white right here. But it's over with. After Spanish, you good. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, but now, and, no.
And I mean, like, even growing up with, like, and like you said, like, showing your emotions. Like, I remember, you know, when I went through episodes and my dad, you know, he didn't know, you know, how to act, how to make it better because, you know, men weren't allowed to.
They're emotionally unavailable.
Yeah, they weren't allowed to show it. So just to be, you know, I would love to be able to have something where I work with parents on how to, you know, look for signs and how to deal with things. Not necessarily be the psychiatrist, but how to pick up to where they know, you know, where they may need help.
It's just like a mentorship type thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because I think everything starts in the home. But at the same time, you know, sometimes, you know, nobody may in that home may know how. They might not have the tools.
They don't have the language or the tools to get them to that place. And that's the one thing that I want to work, especially, like, for me now. Like, I think I came full circle in my life. Well, I wouldn't say full circle. I did a 360 from my 20s all the way up to 32. Just, like, who I am as a woman. Like, I used to pride myself on being a savage-ass woman that, that didn't need any dude or nothing like that. But I think I came to the point now I realized that I do want a man in my life. And it's okay to be feminine and masculine because I am, I have both energies inside of me. So, and I think a lot of women have been hurt, like generationally been hurt, and they don't realize that, that it's okay to be feminine. It's okay to be wanted. It's okay to be needed. It's okay to be, to step back, but like, again, my legacy is just to show them that you can be everything you want to be. You don't have to give it over to a man. You don't have to live for somebody else. You can just live, do what you want to do. Like, we tell men and stuff, like, to live how they want to live from the jump, but I don't think women have that luxury until now, and it's okay if nobody understands it. As long as you're keeping yourself safe, do that. Self-preservation.
Okay, so I got a question for you.
Sure. All
right, so, me and my mom were talking a while back. And we were just talking about, like, things that, like, I would ask a girl that I would, like, either go out on a first date or when we were talking. Mm-hmm. And I said, one of my questions is, you know, what do you want to be your legacy to be? She thought that I sounded like a serial killer. Because that would sound like I'm trying to kill you.
Yeah, that would have been no date, no next date, bitch.
But, I mean, what do you think? Like, you think that's something you should know when you first?
Yes, because, I mean, for me, I think that deep. I am that deep. And if somebody is not that deep, then what are we really doing? What are we doing here? Like, I think that is a good question to ask because some people, I want my legacy to be where I help people, keep my family, like, the amount of emotional abuse, physical abuse, drug abuse, mental health abuse that goes on in my family alone, my family's like, oh, if my family's going through this, I know other families are going through this also. So, what I want to do is to fight white supremacy and build black power. And if you're not on that same page, then what are we doing? What are we doing? Because at the end of the day, you want a partner to help you in that fight, whatever your legacy should be. My legacy is to help people. I want to give back. I had a tarot reader. She was like, yo, corporate America is not for you. And I was like, no shit, my nigga. Like, no shit. She was like, your heart's desire is to help people and to help women. You need to be in some type of philanthropy work. And I was like, I know this, but I got this 9-to-5 cutting in Montana. Like, I know this. And that's what I want. I've been with a dude who was like, I was like, you would make a good mentor. He was like, I don't want to do that. What are we talking about then? Why are we here together? Like, what do you mean? I want to be on some Martin. No, I don't want to be Martin and Coretta. I'm going to be on some.
I thought you were about to say Martin and Gina. I'm like, what?
No. I was going to say some Nessa Mandela and Winnie Mandela, but together, not separate. we fighting this fight and you fighting that fight and I held you down this time. Oh, we fighting the same fight.
You want some Barack and Michelle. That's what you want.
Yeah. No. I'm going to say, man, fuck this. Jay-Z and Beyonce. I don't care. The reason why I love Jay-Z and Beyonce is because they, as far as business-wise, they are in sync when it comes to business. They are fucking in sync.
All right. That's a podcast for another day.
That's definitely a podcast for another day. Beyonce and Jay-Z.
All right. So, when it comes to legacy, do you have any last words on that?
I do want to add that I want my legacy to be love. I want people, I always said, you know, Kendrick Lamar's song, Sing About Me. Like, have you ever heard that?
No, I
can't. Promises You Will Sing About Me.
I've heard like every Kendrick song, but I can't tell you the names of them. I just listen to them.
I'm going
to
need you to get your life together, sir. Hey. that's on the very first album.
He is too much of a voice switching for me to be like a total.
Oh, that's a whole nother podcast right there. You fucking retarded. What?
I mean, he nice, but it just, he too animated sometimes.
Anyways, yeah, at my memorial service, like, I don't.
You playing Kendrick at the
Oh, I have a whole fucking playlist. This is a party playlist. Like, I want played at my memorial service because I don't want to be buried and I don't want to have no funeral. Have me a big ass party, and I want everybody that I've ever touched, not like they could come. No,
you
they
want spiritually? Come. Okay,
right. They could come to who and talk about my touch game, but No, but I want people to talk about how I've impacted their lives. Like, I have people, real life people tell me, like, you got me through this. You've done this for me. And I don't like the recognition while I'm alive, so make sure y'all talk about it when I'm dead.
Fuck that. Give me my flowers while I'm here.
I know I'm the shit. I know I'll be helping people.
Nah, I want the recognition now.
Yeah, give me my flowers.
Because I'm going to do that to you, so
True. Give my flowers, but you don't got. I don't like the being sent in the teacher. But on my death, like when I transition to be an ancestor, most definitely make boost my ass all the way up.
I feel like you should do that for people because I'm the type of person that I'm not gonna do for you and tell everybody about it. I'm not gonna sit there and be like, "Hey, Facebook, I saw this man outside of McDonald's he was hungry and I gave him $2." Like, yeah, I'm not gonna do that. So
I don't do that. You know,
I feel like if somebody did that for me, I should tell the world. But it's not on me to tell the world about my, you know.
Exactly. That's why I want them to stop.
It's like the Bible is supposed to say. It say Jesus did that. Jesus didn't tell people that he did. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So yeah.
That's how I want to be. So I want a book about me. I want parades. I want everything. I want in my death. I'm not that vain. I'm like very vain in real life, but I'm not that vain. Like I need the recognition. Like the parade now. Give me a parade. Throw me a whole motherfucking parade down. 50. Oh no, I'm giving out address. Just go down 97 and down Market Street, downtown Camden. Give me a fucking parade and tell the world about me. For real. That's what my legacy.
Well, just to end the segment, I want to do a quote. If anybody actually knows me, the person, I'm a big fan of wrestling. There was a wrestler who died. And actually the night before he died, he gave a great speech. And I just want to quote something he said that kind of Kobe's death made me think about it and just about like people who have that impact in life. And as I quote it, it says, "No talent becomes a legend on their own. Every man's heart one day beats its final beat. His lungs breathe their final breath. And if what that man did in his life makes the blood pulse through the body of others and makes them bleed deeper in something larger than life, then his essence, his spirit will be immortalized by the storytellers, by the loyalty, by the memory of those who honor him and make the running the man did live forever." Unquote. All right. This is a segment that we're going to do. It's called the Sagittarius Spotlight. So we're going to take a famous or noteworthy Sagittarius in history or present day. Just, you know, give you out a little bit of facts or, you know, information on them. Just because we're celebrating them. Because we're celebrating the show that is, you know, to Sagittarius. So who do we have today?
So since we're going to keep it in line with athletes and she's we're doing a top five later and she's actually a part of my top five. I just remember growing up watching the Olympics and I remember this lady with these long nails and the colorful long nails and she was really, really fast and I remember her and I fell in love with her. Did not realize until like we did this some research that first of all, her birthday is on my birthday, December 21st. She was born in 1959 as Florence Dolores Griffith Joyner, also known as FloJo. She is one of the world's fastest women. Her record actually has not been broken yet. It says, Time just did an article about her saying that her record of, let's see, 100 meter, 200 meter and 4x100 relay and a set 200 meter world record of 21.34 seconds has not been broken yet. She's awesome. Like, the fact that she was a Sagittarius, I was like, yo, she's the fastest woman in history. And she broke her record, she said, actually in 1988, which was a year before after I was born at the Olympics. So she was known for her like one-legged racing suits, her long, brightly painted fingernails, and flouted idea that she was a feminine fashion icon. Beyonce just did her maybe Halloween costume on her, like maybe last year, was it the year before when her and Jay-Z did the whole
Can't tell you.
You suck at life, bruh. when Jay-Z did the whole what's the guy's name with the Olympics?
Oh, Jesse Owens.
I don't think that was Jesse Owens.
You talking about with the fist?
With the fist up.
It was Jesse Owens. Iconic. Yeah, that's Jesse Owens. It was okay. A Hitler.
I may be wrong. Okay. I'm okay with it. But yeah, she's our spotlight for this week. Florence Griffith Joyner, FloJo. All right. City going crazy.
Top five, no debating. Top five. All right, so you're actually right. That wasn't Jesse Owens that Jay-Z was dressed up as. It was Tommy Smith in his Black Panther's attire. Thank you, Google, for fact checking. And so this is our last segment of the show. We do this every show, and it's going to kind of be intertwined with the topic as well. Sticking with the sports and legends, the top five is going to be the top five legendary sports athletes. And so I'm going to let Vic go first on this one, and then I will come on.
Well, since I don't know anything about sports, I really don't watch it, but it was hard. I got like three, but I kind of like winged it. So my first, number one, is LeBron James. LeBron, I used to watch basketball. I should still be watching basketball, seeing as my child plays basketball. But when he was down in the Miami doing the thing, those games were intense, and I'm sure that he continues to play that way. I think like all around athlete and businessman, like he's number one. I don't have nothing to do with that whole Jordan versus LeBron. I don't think that we have to pin nobody up against each other, but LeBron is in his lane and he's doing his damn thing. So number one is LeBron. Number two is Muhammad Ali. I picked him because his whole mentality on not going to war and fighting no damn Vietnamese, I live by that. I even told my sons, like, if you go to the military, I am disowning you because those wars have nothing to do with us, and we're not doing that. So, yeah, don't at me about that. The military, I'm glad y'all do what y'all do, but not my sons. So, three, Serena Williams. She is the best. As far as women, like, it's crazy because when I was thinking about sports, like, I don't know anything about sports, but I think that her fight to have maternity rights and the fact that they drop her down in placement just because she had a baby, that sucks ass. And just to see her, like, prevail after that and how much she struggled and still maintains that gorgeous body of hers. Yes. Let's take a moment of silence for Serena's body. And it's not objectifying it because I'm a woman. yeah, moment of silence. Okay. So, yeah. Serena, then her sister's next. So, Venus, because I think just like Beyonce, well, Tina Knowles is to music, with having both birth Beyonce and Solange, like their mother and father birthing these two great athletes, like phenomenal athletes, like they should, their whole family should give all the glory. My last one is Florence FloJo. Like I said, growing up watching her, like I always had long nails, and seeing somebody on TV that looked like me and had long nails like me was like phenomenal. I didn't even realize the impact that she made on my life until this story came up. No, this podcast came up, and I was like, well, who the hell am I gonna look to? And I was like, oh, I remember this lady growing up when she used to have really long nails, and yeah, watching the Olympics and watching her run was like fascinating as a child. So those are my top five: LeBron, Muhammad, Serena, Venus, and then FloJo.
All right, that's a good top five. Serena would have to go as honorable mention on my list.
What?
She just missed my list.
Okay.
But my number five is Shaq. Simply because of the all-around excellence that he has. Mm-hmm. He's one of those guys who he was going to put his all in everything he did. So he did a rap career, had an acting career. He commentates
I love
now. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Like, he might not be the best at what he did, but he made sure to be able to make money off of it. You know what I'm saying? Papa John's being, you know, part ownership of that company, knowing that they needed something to bring diversity in it. So he took it as an opportunity to be like, okay, I'm going to establish this and make money
off of it. Shaq is a businessman. He's everywhere. So, in the, what's the general commercials?
Yeah. I mean, he just... Shaq is just, he makes money. So when it just comes capitalizing off of your personality, your face, he's definitely up there as far as being able to monetize off of yourself after your body has,
I'm with it,
you know, failed you. Ali is number four for the exact same reasons. And I think Ali is up there as Drake as far as the quotables. He's,
yes,
you know what I'm saying? A lot of the things that he says.
He's a lyricist.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Ali was probably one of the greatest rappers to never pick up a mic. You
right.
Know? He was just, he was bigger than his sport at a time when, you know, that was, it wasn't, you know, there wasn't no social media to do it. He just, the media was all around him.
Mm-hmm.
Number three is Iron Mike Tyson. The man was a beast.
Yeah, he was.
I think we would have, if he wouldn't have had the rape conviction, we probably would have been talking about him being the absolute best heavyweight boxer of all time. Even though he is now arguably in that discussion, I think without that stint, he probably would have. But it's just the fact that he had the video games, you know, even after the stint, he came out and he still, the world still loves this man. You know what I'm saying?
He just had a big moment on his podcast not too long ago about him being emotionally distressed about not boxing anymore.
Yeah, and I mean, and to be this man who he talks about eating people children, and he, you know what I'm saying, he can probably still murder me now. You know what I'm saying?
Most definitely.
But he's a real person. He's a real human being. Number two is Jordan. Simply because of what this man did for sales of a black athlete.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the shoe game, I don't even have to say anything about
right.
his shoes, but it's just the fact that Nike paid this man to wear their shoe. They paid the fine. They did all of this. So yeah, what he did as far as for NBA players that make money besides that contract was revolutionary. So I have to give him that. My number one, LeBron James.
LeBron.
simply being is because, like I said with Kobe, the fact that we watched him grow from a boy to a man, he made the mistakes, the immaturity of where he left Cleveland and came to Miami, which is my favorite team, so I wasn't too mad about that. He gave us two more championships. But he did go back home. He gave them their championship. That, you know, that was class right there. The way that he, you know, as a leader of the Lakers, the way he handled Kobe's death and spoke up for the team, the school epic.
That alone sets him to be number one because he's doing something that nobody else in America is doing.
Exactly.
You see Oprah went out. You see everybody.
Yeah, but Oprah did it in Africa.
That was it. Everybody else went out of the country to do it, and they
did
they
it at home.
Seem like you can't do it, and he proved everyone wrong.
He did what Umar was talking about doing, and he did. You know what I'm saying? But just the fact, I think with him, you don't hear no scandals.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear no gambling, no cheating. I think with him, if he continues like this, he actually can walk away from the game as the number one player. It won't be a question between him, Michael, or Kobe.
Right.
Just to let you listeners know, the reason Kobe is not on this list is because the show was on him, so we didn't want to make it seem like it was a sentimental thing to where we were just putting him on this list.
Yeah,
because his legacy is still fresh and everything. So it's not like we don't, you know, we're not thinking that he's top five or anything like that. It's just that the show was influenced by him. So that's why he's not on these lists.
Mm-hmm.
But he definitely would be if this was taken, you know, if it wasn't taking that into account. But hope you guys enjoyed this first show.
Yay.
Anything additional you want to add to this show?
Just say thank you for listening. Thank you for everyone that's contributing. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for liking and loving. Without you guys, we would not be here.
All right. And next week, we will have another show. We're not going to tell you what the topic is yet, but we will have a special guest. So hopefully you guys are tuning in for that.
Tune in.
All right. See you guys later.
Peace.
Believe in yourselves. Dream. Try. Do good.
Don't you mean do well?
No, I mean do good. Do good.